Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a thankful Thursday. Thankful Thursday, we call it. And I'm about to kick off dipper number two, which is called Why Do We Fund NPR? That's the name of the dipper. Why do we fund NPR and PBS, by the way? But before I even get into it, we got a call that came in during the break, and she's on the line right now. Anita from Patton, Alabama, on this very topic, I believe. Anita, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, number one, I was going to tell you, I love, love, love this show.
Thank you.
The other one is we're discussing NPR and PBS.
Yeah.
I remember growing up and watching Saturday morning cartoons and the School of Rock. I told JT that I didn't think he knew what it was. And he's the one that told me what the name of it was.
Schoolhouse Rock, there it is.
Right. When I was in school and we started studying this, I already knew it because I'd heard on TV, and I'm 60 years old and I still remember them.
Oh my gosh, I can still sing Conjunction, Junction, What's Your Function?
And yes.
I'm a Bill.
And, the Bill of Rights, yes, they're great. I mean, I'd love to see something like that stuck in the middle of some cartoons. If it has to be supported by the government, take NPR and PBS's money and do that.
Well, I agree. Hey, and by the way, did you know, I did a thing on this, I guess it's been sometime in the last year. They tried to come out with a sort of a modern version of Schoolhouse Rock, and it was so filled up with wokeness that it failed.
Yeah, don't put woke in it. Just do it as it's supposed to be. Just the information. Don't put the other crap in it.
That's exactly right.
Anita. I think that would be great because, like I said, I'm 60 years old, and I remember this still to this day.
Well, I just turned 60, and I can sing half of them on the air right now. But
I know it. I know them.
Well,
but I just thought when you were talking about that, I said I would love to see that again. I'd love my grandkids to grow up seeing that.
By the way, I did find out you can get those on like YouTube. I've actually gone and checked.
I saw them on like Facebook and YouTube stuff. But I mean, put them out where the kids are on Saturday morning.
I get it, Anita. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you. Thanks for being in the audience.
Thank
You're a Right Side Ruffian. Appreciate
you.
Thanks.
Bye.
She's right. I mean, I could listen. Conjunction, junction. What's your function?
I watched
picking
that in school.
Up phrase and making up words and making them phrases. About zero, you're my hero.
I watched that exact one in school.
Oh, there you go. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. What else have we got? I could just sing them all day long, man. I love those things.
Those are the only two I know, so I couldn't help you out with the rest of them.
Some of y'all out there right now are starting to sing them in your heads, and you know you are. Totally. Listen, Anita's right. I totally agree. Now, that kind of stuff I could see. If you're gonna say PBS is about that again, which I got to look back and think. I'm trying to think, was Schoolhouse Rock, was it on PBS or was it on just Saturday morning cartoons? Because I watched it on Saturday. By the way, there was a day, for those of y'all that don't remember, JP, you being one, if you wanted to watch cartoons, it was either Saturday mornings or a little bit after school in the afternoons when you got home. For me, it was like afternoons after school. I was a latchkey kid. I walked home from school by myself, had a key that hung around my neck on a string, and I let myself in the house, and I immediately turned on Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island and Batman reruns.
So it was on ABC during the Saturday morning.
ABC Schoolhouse Rock.
Saturday morning children's programming block.
It was perfect. I said, go get it. Don't even bother redoing it. You don't have to redo it. It still works. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Picking up words and making them phrases.
Do we trust them not to make it gay somehow, though?
Listen.
They made Sesame Street gay.
I'm going to go. Yes, they did. They tried to make Bert and Ernie partners.
I was a Bert and Ernie kid. I mean, that Sesame Street was that, and Elmo was my favorite cartoons growing up. So it's
I was a Grover fan.
Bert and Ernie were not gay. Okay, they were not.
Kermit the Frog here. Cookie Monster, Big Bird.
Then it changed into SpongeBob as I got older. Big SpongeBob kid.
I never got SpongeBob.
Oh, man. SpongeBob is the greatest cartoon of all time.
I look at SpongeBob and I think somebody was smoking crack when they came up with that cartoon. SpongeBob SquarePants. Here, I got an idea for a cartoon. What do you want to do? SpongeBob SquarePants. Hang on. Let me smoke something first. Yeah, that sounds great.
SpongeBob is the greatest cartoon of all time, in my opinion. Iconic.
Oh, my gosh. If people are checking in right now, Brian from Huntsville, Schoolhouse Rock. Trouble is, it would be in Spanish subtitled in English nowadays. Wow, dude. Wow, that was like, Brian, come back to us. Steven from Athens says, how about the History Channel? That'd be good. That's right. I'd say go for it.
Okay, but then the text before you said PBS said it in their ads. If we don't do it, who will? How about Discovery, A&E, et cetera?
Yeah, History Channel, all of it. I think they would. So just merge some of that into those for-profit entities and you know what? Survive in the open market. This is sort of like, to me, I feel like I'm chasing a bit of a rabbit, but it is my topic. It's also my show. I can do what I want to.
Yeah.
But so let me just say, if like, for instance, the green energy stuff, the green new steel, I like to call it. If electric vehicles could support themselves and the market want, you know, supply and demand, if supply had a demand side that was equivalent to what the government forced onto the market, EVs would be all the rage. But they're not. They're a minor part of the overall automotive market, and they will continue to do that until one day they have built themselves into the better mousetrap, but they can't keep being propped up with government dollars. The same is true with NPR and PBS. I think their mission has largely passed. I think the day in which they existed because there was no other way for some kids to get that kind of educational stuff. I mean, we used to use school. We used to use PBS in my school. I can remember it was audio AV. Go to the AV room and check out the TV on the cart and roll it down the hall. They'd plug it in and you'd play something on PBS. And sometimes it was like a classic movie that had a lesson and you learned it, like, you know, The Scarlet Letter. Sometimes it was, you know, a book reading. Sometimes it was an arts thing. But they did things during the school day just for schools to use. And then the afternoons, they had shows like, I remember one called Zoom. I loved Zoom. Come on in, Zoom, 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 ah, Zoom. I mean, I just love that show. And then Sesame Street. And gone are those days. Go back to your mission. Or realize maybe your mission is gone. How about that?
Well, the few times I've caught in a cartoon, like as I'm channel surfing or whatever, they suck.
Yeah.
The cartoons are not good anymore. And I mean, not obviously what they're putting into it isn't great anymore, but also I feel like the quality just is not as...
They can't all be SpongeBob SquarePants.
And they don't make them like they used to, I guess.
you're in your 20s saying that. I'm 60. How do you think I feel? Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, I think JP ought to watch Johnny Quest. Oh, see? Now, all right, we are definitely chasing a rabbit, but you will never beat Johnny Quest and his buddy Haji and his dog Bandit and his dad and then Race Bannon, who looked just like Mike Pence.
I'm looking at it right now. He
traveling around.
He's
just like Mike Pence. When Mike Pence first became vice president, I saw somebody put out a picture of Mike Pence next to a cartoon image of Race Bannon, and it said, Donald Trump makes anime real.
We've never seen them in the same room at the same time. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Nice. All right. Johnny Quest. Excellent. Crystal from Moulton says, in reference to Lee's question earlier about sodas being bought with Snap, she said, I've seen a guy buy a buggy full of 2-liter sodas at 4:30 a.m. at Dollar General, and the lady that works there said he pays with Snap and then resells them for cash. She said it happens all the time. Lee was dead on with this. She says Lee was dead on with this. Got to back my diva chick. I got cousin Crystal and Lee from Huntsville ganging up on me. I do not like this.
Well, then John from Huntsville is just the text below is bashing Lee on the same comment.
Oh, well, let's read that one. Lee is completely wrong, John says, about soda ruining somebody's diet. I consider myself a lifetime soda addict. And when I was a student in high school, I was always below or average weight. And my PE teacher always got mad at me for turning down water and walking to the soda machine. I think he was jealous because soda didn't affect my weight size like it did his. John from Huntsville. How about that? Jay from Hartsville says, when I was young, my family was on food stamps. Back then, it was very limited as to what you could get. I can remember watching my friends drinking a Coke and me dreaming of having one. So, yes, set limits on adult items, but take it easy on the kids. For whatever reason, they're on EBT. It's not their fault. Jay, you're an overcomer, brother. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate it very much. Badger from Athens. What is he doing there? He's got. Is he sending me?
He's definitely singing a song.
He's singing a Schoolhouse Rock. There's a Schoolhouse Rock here, and I got to think what it is. One, two, three. I'll think about it in a minute. John from Harvest says, Phil, it's definitely time to defund NPR. It had a bias for a good while. I've had an uncle that used to refer to it as National Pinko Radio. If PBS would ditch the woke garbage and go back to their programming style of a couple of decades ago, I wouldn't mind it staying around for some of the children's stuff and some of the concerts. Okay, fair enough.
Well, so you saw NPR's, the head of NPR, I think, was testifying before Congress a couple of days ago.
Oh,
I think
yeah, it was yesterday. I've got the whole thing right here.
Yeah, so I think one of the questions was somebody asked her if she knew that 90%, I think it was, of NPR's staff is left-leaning.
Oh, yeah?
90%. And she goes, well, if that's true, then that's concerning. Well, it is true, and it is concerning.
Well, he pointed out that in the D.C. office alone, mm-hmm. in the D.C. office, they had 87 employees, all of which were 87 registered Democrats. What does that tell you?
That tells you it's an indoctrination.
Yeah.
Right there.
We're going to play a sound clip for her in a few minutes, by the way. I was about to say something. Oh, you know what? PBS does have a show that I like. And I haven't watched it in a while, but I used to be like addicted to it. Before there was American Pickers, there was Antiques Roadshow. I love Antiques Roadshow.
I think I've seen that a couple of times.
Antiques Roadshow. I was fascinated. People would bring their stuff in. Here's Grandma's, you know, liquor bottle, and I need to know it's worth something. And they'd look at it and go, well, what you have here is a liquor bottle from 1892. It's very rare. If you were to sell this at auction tomorrow, it'd be worth $5 million. I mean, they had crazy stuff. Things that Dad brought home from World War II. You know, the painting that they didn't know was actually by a famous artist. And just, anyway, Antiques Roadshow was very cool. I believe it still exists. Dave from Capshaw, Alabama says, don't forget Sesame Street has gay characters. PBS is available via antenna. Let it sink or swim on its own. Dave, thank you for putting a capstone from Capshaw on what I was saying a minute ago because I forgot to wrap up my comments. The reason I brought up the Green New Steel stuff is because the EV industry can't stand up on its own without taxpayer subsidies. The same is true right now for PBS and NPR. They apparently can't stand on their own. Let them go out and compete in the free market, and if they survive, it'll be because they've got the better programming, period. And then they'll quit doing all the woke crap, because no one's going to tune in on a regular basis to watch Drag Queen Story Hour with Lil Hot Mess talking about shaking his hips in front of children. If you gotta actually survive in the market without government subsidies, you're going to do things a different way. While I'm on a roll, let me keep going. Jerry from Decatur. Eyeball popping information, both Citgo Oil Company and Vetero Oil Company sell Venezuelan crude in the U.S. Remember the oil leak in the Gulf owned by BP? It's almost, okay, where are we going here? He said Trump tariffs definitely is not good news to the Maduro regime. Airborne. Jerry from Decatur, thank you. Thank you very much. And then Mike from Coxie says, yes, Colonel Phil, Sesame Street used to stand for something, but today, Sesame Street writer Mark Saltzman says Bert and Ernie's a gay couple. That just needs to go away. Yep.
No, that just drives me up a wall. Bert and Ernie are not gay.
They're not.
They're not, no.
They didn't come out of the closet.
I knew Bert and Ernie back in the day. We were friends. We were like this.
I knew Bert and Ernie before.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know for a fact they're not gay.
Bert and
you can't tell them what they are.
Ernie collecting bottle caps. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Cool guy. Rubber ducky.
Yeah.
Rubber ducky, you're the one. Rubber ducky, you're so fun. Okay, I'm sorry. Ken from Harvest wants to know, doesn't Disney own Sesame Street now? If they do, I'm not aware of it. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure about that. I have not heard that. We can check that out. And then last one before we go to the break. Jim from Athens says, hey, Phil, share an unexpected reunion. Oh, you did tell me that. I read that one. Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right, we got to go. Man, y'all are some texting machines. Man. All right, listen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Going to jump into more on this NPR PBS thing. Why do we fund them? Why? Why? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, NPR PBS. So NPR and PBS CEOs were asked to come testify before the DOGE committee in Congress yesterday. I've got a soundbite here for you. It's a short one. I think we have time for this. I ran long on my last segment, but I'm going to keep this going a little bit. So the NPR, first of all, the NPR CEO, what's her name? Catherine Mayer. She has made some egregious comments in the past that clearly indicate she has a liberal bias. Not like a little bit, like a lot. Like, you know, being addicted to white supremacy and, you know, and talking about how she now admits, by the way, that NPR did not cover the Hunter Biden laptop story. And she admits a failure in that part because allegedly they do news and they chose not to do that story. And then we got, you know, the whole thing about PBS having a drag queen story hour time, you know, it's just nuts. So how about this? Let's listen to one quick line of questioning where Catherine Maher of NPR is confronted on her own tweets in the past. Play it.
Do you think that white people should pay reparations?
I have never said that, sir.
Yes, you did. You said it in January of 2020. You tweeted, yes, the North, yes, all of us, yes, America. Yes, our original collective sin and unpaid debt. Yes, reparations. Yes, on this day.
I don't believe that was a reference to fiscal reparations, sir.
What kind of reparations was it a reference to?
I think it was just a reference to the idea that we all owe much to the people who came before us.
Nice try. That's what it was. Sure, we all buy that. Except what she's also doing that is in the middle of another line of questioning about her talking about her tweets or being asked about her tweets where she announced that she was addicted to white supremacy. And she also was asked about tweets in which she said that, you know, she was glad to have a day off of work so she could read a book called The Case for Reparations, which she denied recalling ever reading. And yet she tweeted that she had read it. And that book was, by the way, about monetary reparations. So, I mean, listen, that's who's in charge. And we're talking about what one lawmaker, Daily Wire quotes, called Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, actually called the anti-American airwaves at PBS and NPR, called them radical left-wing echo chambers. It's a cry and shame. I mean, there are some things in there. Like I mentioned, I still like Antiques Roadshow. Very cool to watch for me. I mean, I'm fascinated by it. But the truth of the matter is you've got Representative Tim Burchett, Republican for Tennessee, pointing out to Catherine Maher again how in 2020 she was tweeting out that President Trump was a racist and a sociopath. That's the head of NPR saying President Trump was a racist and sociopath. Her response to that now is her feelings have matured, or her ability to view the world has matured. Sure it has. In just, what, 4.5 years? Great. We'll come back and wrap this up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.